Hey there, if you're thinking about getting out there on the road with the big rigs and driving a rig, an RV, or even a bus, then have we got great news for you.
Southwest Truck Driver Training can get you trained and rolling in as little as 4 weeks. They offer lifetime job placement support. They have special military programs, a financial aid program, including grant applications, and so much more to offer you.
Plus, they are family owned business right here in the Southwest. They have world-class training for Class A and B CDLs, hazmat endorsement training, RV training, and of course a refresher course if you need one. And did we mention they have three locations, which are Phoenix, Tucson, and North Las Vegas?
So we don't know why you're sitting there channel surfing on a TV when you could be learning to drive and roll down the road to earning a great living today.
Go to their website, SWTDT.com, to learn more about Southwest Truck Driver Training to shift your career into high gear.
Tell them you heard about them on the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show. We love them. You will too.
Welcome
to the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show.
We're a podcast for truckers, about truckers, by truckers.
Coaching generations of drivers while guiding them on their path to success.
Fueling them with knowledge and passion for trucking.
Navigating the industry one mile at a time.
Spark the revolution.
4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off.
Welcome to the 18 Wheel Talk Podcast Show. Okay, now say it seriously and slower.
Welcome to the 18 Wheel Talk Podcast Show. We're often imitated, never duplicated.
The one, the only, the blue, the green, the big rig. 18 Wheel Talk Podcast Show. What is going on with your microphone?
It got twisted the wrong way.
It's related to you. We're going. Do not restart. This is like the 10,011th time. Keep rolling.
I'm rolling.
We're going to run out of digital tape.
It's rolling.
Oh, okay. What are we talking about?
How's Miss Janet today?
Marvelous, darling. Simply marvelous.
Simply marvelous.
Marvelous.
She's going banshee. She's going to hell in a hay basket, and I'm driving.
That's right. You're taking
and
me
it's
there,
on fire. Anyways. Welcome to the podcast show.
Yes.
What are we talking about today, Miss Janet?
Hazmat.
Hazmat.
Do you know what that means?
Hazardous materials. Mm-hmm. It's short for hazardous materials.
Yep. We're going to specifically talk about the endorsement rules, regs, and more.
More. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where do you want to start? Lead us off.
Well,
batter up. You're up.
Hazmat.
Go for it. Put it in gear.
Zip it, Zippy.
Okay.
Hazmat,
yes.
Is an endorsement on the commercial driver's license, your CDL.
Okay.
And it's required to transport, you're required to have the endorsement if you're driving a rig that has hazardous materials in it within a certain range.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I used to haul oil, gas and oil.
Okay.
You're required to have your CDL with hazmat endorsement to haul gas, to haul oil,
right,
to haul liquid nitrogen, stuff like that, to haul explosives, stuff like my dad
so
carried.
So basically,
sometimes,
if you got to put a placard on the vehicle, you need an endorsement to haul it.
Yes.
Pretty much.
There are small amounts like, you occasionally had hazmat materials in small enough amounts when you worked for that certain company that shall remain unnamed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I hauled medical waste.
Yes. They carried small amounts that were not required to be placarded, so they did not have to have drivers with a hazmat endorsement.
When it was on wheels, like we had some containers that were on wheels.
Okay.
Right? If we had a certain amount of these wheel types on the truck.
Okay.
Like if I had a trailer load of these, I had to placard it.
Mm-hmm.
With a specific number, which said it was untreated medical waste, I think is what the code If you look it up in the code book, mm-hmm. it was, I believe it said, untreated medical waste.
Oh, okay.
So if we, heaven forbid, we're ever in an accident, they know what's on the truck, especially if they see stuff dripping out the back.
I got you. So I know that they were required, you know, obviously six oil. Hauled a lot of six oil and gas. I know that when the driver that worked for the same company as I did in, just as I was leaving, he was coming on in New York.
Uh-huh.
When he came down from Vermont, I think it was Burlington, he came down Route 7. Came down the hill there and decided just to pile into a town full bore, no brakes.
Oops.
Plowed through a house or three. Rolled a tanker full of six oil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He probably could have done a better job making sure everything was done properly.
Yeah.
It had placards on it, and he had his hazmat endorsement and his tank endorsement.
Okay.
But he didn't exactly follow the rules and regs.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Let's get into the rules and regs.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. You're going to have to read it because I can't read it.
Okay, so you have to pass a knowledge test and a skills test.
Okay.
And depending on what type of hazmat you're driving, you also have to have other endorsements. Like I had to have a tanker endorsement.
Right, because the type of vehicle you were driving was a tanker.
The trailer.
Right.
Some people don't understand the difference.
Right.
If they're not a truck driver, they might not understand there's a difference.
You can haul, well, you'd have to have a tanker endorsement to haul a tanker. Well, you used to pull a tanker. You used to.
You still do.
Okay.
Yep. And if you're pulling, say, doubles and one of the trailers has hazmat in it, you have to have it placarded. You have to have your hazmat endorsement, plus you have to have your doubles endorsement.
Yep.
You still have to do that.
And that's usually on paid interstates.
Yes. And not all states have doubles or triples.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I grew up in an area where there was, and I had driven in areas where there was. And then I got to New York and I'm like, where's all the doubles and triples?
On the interstate.
But I did, again, yeah. I was driving, you know, like the Northway and stuff.
You could, on the New York State Thruway, because the company I worked for had me get my doubles endorsement. Well, yeah. I had my doubles and triples endorsement. They had me licensed to be able to haul doubles on the mm-hmm. thruway. And I could haul double 48-footers.
Yeah.
Triple pups.
Yep.
You know.
So, and that's common. So if any of those three pups had hazmat in it, someone had to have that endorsement too.
Yep.
So that being said, like say someone came to work for that company.
Okay.
And knew they were going to be hazmat as a requirement.
Uh-huh.
They have 90 days, and they didn't have their endorsement already. They had 90 days from the time they started working for that company.
Yeah.
This is still law. I've done all this research within the last 30 days.
Okay.
So they have 90 days from the time they start with a company that hauls hazmat mm-hmm. to get their endorsement for hazmat. Now, if you're going to work for a company that only hauls hazmat, you're not going to get a job if you don't have it in advance.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just that easy. But exactly. if it's a once in a while thing, they give you 90 days to get it.
Okay.
After you get the employment or the assignment, and you have to have reoccurrent training at least once every 3 years.
Right.
So that's just everybody, no matter whether you have the once in a while assignment or you're all the time getting, you know, pulling hazmat and that's all you ever pull.
Okay. And that's just what, like a security training?
No, that's the actual hazmat training. That's the course. The 4-hour course.
Okay.
Which it didn't used to be a 4-hour, but now it is. And you have to go back and get that 4-hour course. And depending on what school.
Oh, you have to sit through it.
You have to sit through it and recertify every 3 years.
3 years. Oh, okay.
Every three years you have to recertify.
I thought you said 90 days.
No. 90 days from the date you get the job.
Gotcha. You have to have it.
And every 3 years after.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I know. If they could see how much my hands talk, they'd be like, wow, she must be Irish. Anyway.
I misunderstood.
That's okay.
That's all. I just wanted you to reiterate it.
You're part of the specialized training, which I think is funny that they actually list on the Federal Motor Carriers
Safety Association
site is you have to have a CDL.
Well, yeah.
But my brain is, isn't that obvious?
Yeah, usually. If you're looking up a hazmat endorsement, one would assume
that you had to have the CDL.
That you
to
had
begin
the
with.
CDL to begin with.
Yes. But also, like CDL, hazmat, and a lot of times you have to have the tank or the triples, doubles endorsement. You know, some.
I know that if you go through a school,
yes,
if you have the opportunity to get
that endorsement, any endorsement, take it.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're going through the school, you're going to pay for it. You might as well take it.
Yeah. If it, if they offer it, take it.
That's what, when I went, you know, to get my CDL, that they said, take every portion of the test. You're paying the price. You might as well take it all.
Yeah, when I went to school, they said that too.
The only two endorsements I didn't hold was passenger and towing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a dash cam in your semi and you went and spent all that money on it, do you really think that you and your truck are protected against John Q. Public? We don't. That is why we recommend Rexing USA cameras and equipment. Whatever it is you are looking for, whether it be a dash cam, a body cam, a trail cam, or similar, they probably have it.
Nearly every new vehicle coming out has a dash cam, and there is a reason for it. Litigation. Yes, welcome to America, the land of litigation. So the best thing you can do is to protect what you own with video and pictures.
And their dash cams, boy, let me tell you, their cams do a lot. They have 170-degree ultra-wide-angle lenses that will automatically lock in the last video if it feels a vibration from an accident. It has a supercapacitor battery backup that is better than lithium for extreme heat or cold. Add in loop recording, a mobile app, and parking monitoring, and more.
And yes, now you have a really great package for this company of cameras. So come on, check it out at 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam. That's 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam. I didn't hold passenger.
Did I have tow truck?
I had tow truck.
I don't know. I think I had tow truck. I never worked it. But the only endorsement I really didn't have was a passenger vehicle.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
you still have to do your pre-trip, you know, all your controls on your equipment, emergency equipment. They pay special attention to, like your fire extinguishers and that type of stuff when you're hauling hazmat. And I guess now, I don't mean this to sound as sarcastic as it's going to. I guess now they really pay attention to whether or not a hazmat driver smokes in their truck.
Oh, okay.
The reason I said that is when I drove oil tanker and gas tanker, I smoked. Everybody I knew that drove tanker
smoked
and smoked in their truck. And a lot of us, a lot of them, I mean, of course, smoked when they were unloading.
A lot of them.
Them. Smoked when they unloaded. Because what people don't understand is you're more likely to blow something up during that.
Cigarette. Transfer.
Sorry. Unhook and hook, like in and out of the car or in and out of a tank in the ground.
Okay.
When it's hooked up and you're from tanker to the nozzle in the ground to the tank in the ground, it's locked.
Right. No vapors.
There's no vapors there. And if you're there for half an hour.
I thought I was going to sneeze.
I'll bless you in advance.
But I felt it coming.
So I guess they really frown on the smoking when you drive a semi with hazmat now. Although I will say,
well, it also depends on the type of hazmat, like you said.
Yes,
you know.
When I did have the opportunity to pull explosives, I was really good and did not smoke and throw anything out the window.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I paid attention. So you also have to pay attention if you're pulling hazmat and you go through. Certain highways near mountains have tunnels.
Okay.
And if you're near a city, you're going to see a lot of bypass roads that say if you're hauling a hazmat or a tanker, you have to go around them. You cannot go through a tunnel with a tanker or a hazmat. I say tanker because most tankers are hazmat. Of course, people are saying, well, what about milk? Yeah. But milk
Milk
is still
a hazard.
It's not, but you still have to follow the same
right.
rules.
Yeah, they still, yeah, because it's a tanker.
It's a tanker. You still have to follow the same rules.
There was an interstate. I think it was it Pittsburgh that has the tunnel?
Well, yeah, and there's a bunch of interstates.
But there's an interstate that goes in it, but there's a tunnel, and you got to get off, and I forget the interstate number. I think it's 79, 71, 79,
something like that, yeah.
Where you have to bypass the tunnel.
Yeah, and there's interstates that go in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, all up and down that area.
There's the big tunnel in Colorado.
Where there's tunnels that you have to bypass. Yep. You have to go around them. Cars go through them. Semis go around them. You know, if you're
especially if you're hauling hazmat, because they don't want to.
Yeah, they're like, nope.
They're like, hell no, we ain't coming in after you.
No, what they do is they say, have you seen that Sylvester Stallone movie? That's what the sign needs to say.
Yeah, right.
Have you seen that movie? Go around it. But there are procedures for maneuvering tunnels, maneuvering around bridges, railroad crossings.
Flasher's got to be
I've seen a lot of semis that just fly across railroad crossings. And when I went from hazmat to reefer, it was really hard not to stop at every railroad crossing.
Once you get in the mindset.
Yeah, it was like that mind just, my brain was saying stop.
Stop, flashers, check both ways, cross.
Yeah, the whole thing. But my mind was also saying, no, you don't have to.
You're not hauling hazmat.
Yep. So.
But yes, I agree with you. Once you get your mind trained to do something like that, it's automatic. You're going to do it.
Yep.
You know?
And there's also attending your vehicle if it's a hazmat.
What do you mean?
If you're loaded with hazmat, you're not always allowed to leave your vehicle to just pop on into a truck stop. That's why a lot of times you see two people in a hazmat truck.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. If one's in, one has to be near the truck.
It's got to be somebody
depending on
near
what's in it.
Or on or around.
Yep. If you're loading or unloading, it has to be compatible. Like tankers are loaded into have baffles. A lot of tankers have baffles. Like you could have five baffles within a tanker.
Okay.
They have to be compatible items, like types of gas, for instance. You can't have gas and six oil in the same tanker. If you don't know what six oil is, it's home heating oil. People actually do still use that.
No, there's a lot of people that don't know that.
Those can't be in the same tanker because what happens if they mix, it's all destroyed.
Yep.
If two types of gas mix, it's still usable.
Two types of, if 87 octane mixed with 93 octane, guess what? Voila, you got 93 octane.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if someone gets it mixed up, you just got a different octane. That's
and
all.
And poof, you got mid-grade.
Yeah, mid-grade. That's right.
93 becomes less, the 87 becomes more. Voila, mid-grade. That's how they came up with the mid-grade. That's what happened. Somebody screwed up and mixed the two.
And said, hey, we might as well make a mid-grade. That way we always got it covered. Yeah. And you would know more about this because you handled cargo hazmat, and I've never actually handled cargo hazmat, is packing, loading, unloading, load securement, because all I did was hook the tanker up, make sure the hoses
were drained, make sure
the hoses were secure, nothing was dripping, etc.
With the medical waste company, we picked up developer fluid, which was classified as hazardous, but it was small quantity, and it had to be strapped to the back of the truck.
Okay.
So there was a specific location in the back of the truck that's where it had to be.
Okay.
And we had I don't think we had to have a special platform to put it on. I know when we offloaded it and stored it.
Okay.
Until it was picked up by our hazardous people. It was stored in our warehouse on a raised platform that had the drip holes in it. You know, I call it a waffle board.
Yeah.
You know, a waffle board tray.
Yep.
To prevent it in case there was a leak and it spilt, it would capture the leak.
Yeah.
And it had to be locked up.
Okay. You know,
so we were able to do certain things, but it was, at the time, it's the rules. That was the rules. That's how we had to be able to do it. And that's how we got around the hazmat, because we weren't picking up a lot. It was like maybe a 5 gallon jug.
Okay.
You know.
So And I know I keep going back to tanker because a lot of hazmat.
Well, that's what your experience is in.
Well, not just that, but a lot of hazmat that's in large quantities put in a tanker.
Yeah.
Not just gas and oil, but even large quantities of other types of waste is put in a tanker. Yep. If it's any type of liquid or semi-liquid. Anyway. You're welcome for the sound effects. Okay. You also have to learn the special handling of tankers.
Okay.
Liquids slosh.
Right. That's why they put the baffles in. Hopefully.
Not all of them have baffles, though.
Well, what I'm saying, the ones that have baffles, they put the baffles in to alleviate some of the slosh, which is a push-pull.
Yeah, they have a high center of gravity.
Yep.
So, like where there's, especially cloverleaf entrances on and off ramps onto highways. They angle.
Okay.
So you have to, like, if the speed limit going on a highway from one to another says it's 45, you're not doing 45 in a tanker fully loaded.
You're going to have to,
because you're going to be rolling downhill on starting on 9 and then. Nothing. You're going to be on your top.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely going to slow down to a minimum 15 miles less than the speed limit.
Yeah. So if it said 45, I'd aim at about 20 and see how it felt.
Yeah.
Depending on what I was loaded with.
When you got to the end of the clover leaf, you'd be grabbing gears.
Then you can start grabbing gears. But going into it, you get to that tight spot where it's the highest angle.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, any tractor trailer's always
should
higher.
Should know that, yes.
And when they're going on a turn, they should automatically.
Well,
you know,
we both.
It's recommended for cars. The speed limit is.
Yes, but we also know of people, we'll say, that said, "Oh, I took that curve on 9," and that person or people might have been smacked upside the head if they had said that to me in person.
Nice.
Once you feel 9 lifting, you slow down and aim into the 9 that are lifting.
Yeah, that's 9 wheels out of 18.
Yes. So if you've got a partial load,
listening and you're scratching your head like,
what's 9?
What she mean by took that turn on 9?
Yeah.
Meaning they were getting ready to tip it.
Yeah, they were getting ready to flip.
I've only come close to. I brought some wheels off the ground, and that was when I drove for a garbage company.
Okay.
Coming around a turn, mm-hmm. and the back axle dipped down into a drainage grate.
Okay.
And when we came back up, it shifted and it brought the tires off the ground. It was like a little bloop.
Oh, fun.
And boy, my helper was old enough. He was like, I thought we were going, man.
Ouch.
Oh, it made my you-know-what pucker.
Mm-hmm. I was maybe a few months into hauling tanker, hazmat, and Rensselaer, New York.
Yep.
Coming from 7 going into Massachusetts, I took that north road.
Okay.
And I could feel the tires starting to lift, and I aimed into it and downshifted and took my foot off the pedal a little bit and dropped it back down, and the driver that was near me, we were running up to northern Massachusetts together. Uh-huh. He says, "Wow!" He says, "I saw that start to lift." He says, "You pulled it out real good." So it's like,
"Oh yeah!"
Boy,
when
once you
know
feel
it's
that lift, you just
it's like
winging a prayer, baby, winging a prayer.
That's because you know, in all of our training that we between the two of us, we're taught what to do in certain situations.
Yeah,
whether we get to use that training.
You hope not.
You hope you don't have to.
Yeah.
But in a split second, it rambles through your brain, and you know what to do.
If your training is rambling through your brain and you're doing it right, and you don't have that happen,
right.
You're going, oh, thank God I was taught that.
Yeah, exactly.
Through your brain is, ooh, that was exciting, you're in the
God,
wrong job.
Thank you, baby Jesus. I remember the training.
So... let's go on to employers. As an employer, they have to create and retain records for every employer when they're a hazmat employer, whether it's one that has only hazmat employers or loads, or one that has a one-a-year load.
I gotcha.
They have to have records for everyone as long as the employee stays there and is retained.
Okay.
Up and then for 3 months after that. It has to have all their training records.
Right, right, right.
Everything that's current, everything they came into the company with, all their training while they were with the company.
Gotcha.
And if you're interested in running tankers, I highly suggest the rollover prevention video that is located on the FMSCA site. We'll have a link to it. FMS.
Federal Motor
Carrier
Safety Association.
Yeah. FMCSA site. Did I say it backwards again?
FMCSA.
It's okay.
That's a tongue twister for you. It's okay.
I do flip letters.
It's okay. We'll make sure it's correct on our website.
The link will be right.
We'll definitely put a link into it because I found it fascinating.
And it covers the four approaches to reducing your tank truck rollovers, design and performance of the vehicle, the load effects, the highway factors, and the driver factors, which is my favorite.
What?
Because 78% of rollovers involve driver error. Because as a driver, the driver is the key component to preventing a rollover. The preview highlights what you see in the full 17-minute video.
Okay.
Things to consider on a rollover, especially a hazmat rollover: slosh.
Okay.
Tank stability.
Okay.
Rollover prevention.
Uh-huh.
High risk areas on roads.
Okay.
Allowing speed cushions, controlling your turns, and regulations and interpretations.
Okay.
So, and I've told you about my friend that highly experienced driver,
yep.
Highly experienced tanker driver.
It can happen to anybody.
That ended up in a rollover. It can happen to anybody because he was coming. I can't think of the road that goes through Lake George and up there.
It was a tight curve.
It was a tight curve, downhill, double S curve. A car passed him downhill on a curve in a no passing zone, 2-lane highway, and then stopped to make a left-hand turn right in front of him.
Yeah.
He, rather than hit the car and kill the guy, ended up
going... Oh, he would have ran him over.
Oh, the guy would definitely have been dead.
Easily.
The guy stopped to turn into his own driveway rather than...
Rather than wait for the truck. He was in that big of a hurry.
Rather than, you know, wait 30 seconds to get to his own...
He'd rather risk his life
to
get home than to actually make it
So
home.
My friend ended up rolling the tanker into the ditch right across from the guy's driveway. So there was no doubt who did it. Because, lots of witnesses
exactly.
And right across from his driveway.
Deep.
And the reason, thank God, he's still okay and everything. But
right.
The reason I know is because the cops were looking for me to come unload the trailer.
Right.
So.
They were like, get all the Janet. She's not far from there.
Yeah, she's on her way back. He was on his way up. We had same trailers, identical trailers. And
so you hooked up and
drained his trailer into mine as the tow trucks were lifting his trailer back up. And all I knew is his wife was worried to death, and I handed him my phone and said, call her.
Yeah.
That's all I cared
call
about
home.
Was call her and tell her you're okay.
Call home and let her know you're safe.
We have another link to hazmat routes that you can't go through, like tunnels, and that's again on the same FMCSA.
Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association.
Tunnels. I just
on the federal motor carrier site.
You're going to see a lot of our links.
That's where we got a lot of this information from
their site.
90%
of it came off of their site because that's what they do for a living.
Federal Motor Carrier, that they regulate us. They regulate the CDLs, the commercial driving industry.
How to report and prevent spills, same place, more links.
Yep, and we'll make sure that we have a link there. And a lot of this stuff is very interesting. Give it a read.
Yeah, it might not super interesting the way that I'm putting it across, but it really is interesting.
It's like you may read something and go,
wow,
I never knew that.
The videos, even though I drove tanker for a while, it was like, wow, I never saw that before.
It's like, oh, wow, I didn't think of that.
So
that's something new to me.
Yeah. The Secretary of the Department of Transportation has the authority to regulate the transportation of hazmat.
Okay.
Because of the Hazardous Material Transportation Act.
Okay.
I didn't know. I knew, but I didn't know what act.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So, you say you like tools. Now, are we talking about normal people like them or Tim the Toolman Taylor like them? Because if you're like the two of us, it is definitely in the Tim the Toolman Taylor's range. I have never been bored when shopping for tools.
So, here's what you do. Head on over to 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools. It will take you to their site, which will normally give you a discount, a chance in a giveaway, join the rewards club, or something really great like that.
Then start browsing to your heart's delight. Whether you're looking for power tools, hand tools, 25-ton jack stands, or gardening tools, they have got you covered.
So take a few minutes and follow the link, 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools, and jewel over a few tools while you're there. That might, is that the act that was enacted when the towers got hit?
I believe so, because there's a highway route controlled quantity of class 7 radioactive material now.
Yep.
Anything over 55 pounds of explosive materials.
It has to be. That's got to be the regulations that came into effect since
9/11. This is some of the stuff it covers. More than 1 liter of material that's poisonous by inhalation.
Okay.
Material poisonous by inhalation that meets for hazard zone C or D in packaging.
Okay.
Which just floors me. That could be in packaging that's 3,500 gallons. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. They weren't messing around since 9/11 because of how they've been trying.
Yeah.
There's been terrorists trying to attack the United States for years.
Yeah, long before
there was. They've been trying to take those towers down forever.
Since they went up.
They would drive trucks filled with explosives down into the basement to try to take it out from below and not succeed.
Yeah.
This is why these regulations exist now, because they plowed planes into the towers.
Yeah.
And by they, I mean terrorists.
Terrorists is the they we're talking about.
You know, so I understand why they came up with these regulations. Some of them are kind of redundant. Some of them are
to read.
Yeah, I get it. Some of it is repetitive.
But it makes sense if you're carrying the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to haul it, you know what they're talking about. I don't know what a class C versus a class 7 is.
Yeah,
you know,
or like this one, a shipment of compressed or refrigerated liquefied methane or liquefied natural gas or other liquefied gas with a methane content of 85% in bulk packaging and a capacity of equal to or greater than 3,500 gallons. And I'm like, oh, wait, I hauled that.
E equals 4 times squared.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like you were saying. All I heard was wah, wah, wah.
Well,
wah,
I know,
wah,
but then
wah,
I'm like,
wah.
Air gas.
Right.
That's,
yeah, air gas. Yeah.
That's air gas.
Yeah. Oxygen, liquid
that's
oxygen.
That's the company.
Yeah. Liquid oxygen and
CO2.
All in liquid form.
So they have, there's all these new forms that came out in January of 2005.
Okay.
Okay. That they have to fill out that. Motor carriers, interstate, intrastate, foreign carriers have to comply with it too, although sometimes I won't name countries, but you'd think that some places don't know how to read or write English.
That's okay. Anyways.
And if your inspection of your hazardous materials discloses violations,
okay,
and you don't report it, you can get fined and you can go... with civil or criminal or both penalties.
Damn.
You can get for civil maximum $79,976. This is per individual.
Right.
For criminal, $250,000.
That's a quarter of $1 million.
Yeah.
That's up to, or that's the maximum for an individual?
Up to.
Wow. I don't know about you, but my pocket ain't that deep.
Yeah. Oh, wait, my bad. Yeah, the criminal, that's the minimum on the $250,000 is
the minimum.
Ooh. That is, if related, minimum $481 if it's related to your training. So if it happens in training, it's different.
Oh, I got you.
However, the person that's training you, yeah, they can get the full kit and caboodle. The corporation you work for, $500,000.
Damn.
If it results in death for civil, okay. $186,000.
That's crazy.
Death, serious injury, illness to a person, or property damage. And then there's a whole list of shipper responsibilities. And I know most of you aren't falling under this, but if you work for the company that does the shipping and does... I worked for the shipping company because we picked up the oil.
Okay.
At the facility.
The refinery.
Basically. We picked it up. We had the contract to pick it up. We were the ones with the contract, and then we hauled it. So we had that responsibility. We had to make sure that it met the definition of hazmat, had the right shipping name, the right division, the right ID number, the right warning label. If the guy before me had the wrong placards on the tank, I had to make sure that I flipped it to the correct one.
Right.
If I didn't, that's on me. That's not on him.
Right.
You had to make sure that whatever you picked up at the hospitals, for instance, were in the right packaging.
Right. Yeah.
They couldn't just throw hazmat in a box and say, here you go, it's hazmat. Although I'm sure they tried at times.
Oh, believe me. I've seen some places take a sharps container that's full of needles, right? And instead of putting that container in the box that they're supposed to, they dumped it out into the container. They dumped the needles out of the plastic container
that holds it locked
and put it in a box.
Okay,
and thought that was the right way.
El stupidos.
I'm like, I'm lucky I didn't get stuck by that porcupine box.
Yeah, right.
My God. My boss was like, how did you not get stuck by that? Because literally, it looked like porcupines. I said, well, I put my hands on the box like this, and I saw something shiny, and I look, and literally, there was like, you know, it was like, one was here, one was here.
Oh,
one
sweet
was,
Jesus. Know,
I mean, literally, there was thousands of needles poking through this box. And I literally picked it up, saw something shiny, and went, uh-oh. Walked it over to where I needed to set it for him to look at, set it down, and pulled my hands out.
Very carefully.
In case I did get stuck, and I just didn't feel it.
Okay, so imagine you're the driver, like you were, and say you got promoted to facility manager of that terminal.
Okay.
So you go from being responsible for your trailer.
No, you're responsible for a dozen trailers.
A dozen trailers, drivers, and everything on the list. The ID numbers, the class, the warning label, the packaging, the marking, the training of the employees, all the paperwork, all the emergency response information, phone number certification, compatibility, blockings, bracings, that's inside the trailers.
Okay.
Placards, the security plan to make sure that the trailer doesn't get hijacked between point A and point B.
Right.
Incident reporting in case a driver gets stuck with something.
Right.
Or hazmat gets spilled. You have to make sure that the materials carrier responsibility book is up to date.
Yep.
I did that for my boss when I got my knee hurt.
Yeah, we had a carrier book.
Yeah, you know, had the responsibility of putting that together.
Yeah, it had all of our emergency contact numbers.
Yep.
You know, all our permits were in it. All our you know,
how to load, how to unload, how to everything.
How to place card it. Yeah. How to mark it. How to.
And how to practice for that moment when an incident does occur, like when I started, I hurt my knee.
Okay.
Not a hazmat accident. It's just a stupid one.
Okay.
But my knee got hurt when I drove for the hazmat company.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I can't sit at home and be bored.
No.
What can I do?
They
asked if I wanted to answer phones, and I just looked at them and laughed.
You went, do I look like a goddamn secretary?
I said, nothing against secretaries. I love them, but no.
But
so,
no.
They put me in charge of training, and then they put me in charge of rerouting. I took the pickup because it was my left knee.
Okay.
I took the company pickup and I went to every facility we went to.
Okay.
I did truck routes.
All right.
Wrote the truck route down, marked it on a map because I made Xeroxes of all the maps.
Okay. That makes sense.
And then I on it properly marked where the actual delivery point was compared to where the truck could park, because that was wrong on half the books, because things change.
Right.
And our books were like 15 years old.
Yeah. And because you did that, that was a big help.
Yeah. You froze momentarily.
I did.
Yeah. But I did all of that. And because I did all of that, then they had me train everybody. I had to give a training class, like a 2-hour training class on everybody. Like, okay, so this is what I discovered, because I had to go on. I went on this website.
I went here and found out this is what we're doing.
And this is what we're supposed to be doing. And by the way, how's your fire extinguishers, drivers?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
they were like, oh, crap, Janet's here.
Yeah. But imagine, I mean, we had drivers get hurt from hazmat, covered in oil. You know, six oil burns, you know. We also hauled the tar for roads once in a while. Man, you want to talk about
Well, like I said, we...
I can't even imagine.
My company hauled, you know, the old x-ray machines, fixer developer, when they developed the liquid.
Yeah, no.
You know, that shit burns.
No, thank you.
That'll burn your skin off.
But if something had happened, someone's in charge of making sure that that employee, say it had been you, God forbid,
yeah,
made it to the hospital, mm-hmm, was taken care of, whatever was, well, you were at the hospital, yeah, but say you weren't at the hospital,
right,
but made it to the hospital, everything was taken care of, all the paperwork was taken care of, did all the follow-up, made sure nothing happened at the hospital, the trailer was cleaned up, the facility was cleaned up,
yep,
and all the other little things.
Got all the ducks in
and
the
if room. Someone is killed, man, you can just tenfold everything at least.
We had one of the drivers when I was back in upstate New York.
Oh, I remember.
He got hit head on I'm guessing the kid had mental issues.
Okay.
That was driving the car that hit him. He was on a 2-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
Speed limit was 55. He managed to slow the truck down to 45 when he realized the kid was coming at him.
Oh, wow.
And got on the shoulder of the road and stayed on the shoulder of the road, did not go off the shoulder and into the berm. And like I said, slowed down to about 45. They estimated the kid hit him, and it was like an impact of about 85 miles an hour.
Oof.
Yeah. I told him, I said, I wouldn't be able to get behind the wheel again. If that ever happened to me, I told my boss, I said, if that ever happens to me, don't ask if I'm coming back to work, because it ain't happening. Thankfully, it didn't, and thankfully he was all right. I'm sure that I know
a few drivers that's happened.
I'm sure that he still has nightmares about it.
Yeah,
I haven't talked to him since I moved out here, but
yeah,
last I knew, he was still working, the old bastard. But anyways.
But they also have to notify, like, the accident that happened up in New York, the driver that took out a couple houses with the 6-oil tanker.
Right.
They had to evacuate part of the town, not to mention the houses that got destroyed.
Yeah, because, you know, of what you guys were hauling.
Luckily,
sure
nobody
got
killed.
Right.
They had to evacuate the area, and since it was on a hill and
things were going downhill...
Yep. They had to evacuate like a quarter of the town.
Yep. Until they got the leak, you know, got it under control.
Fire department and everything else. And I was still in New York at the time, obviously. Uh-huh. But my boss, my old boss, called me and asked if I wanted to come help. And I'm like, no.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I've been there, done that. I don't do that no more.
So I'm not going to go in depth on the subdivisions here.
I would definitely just at least, but the, you know, read the classes.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go into the divisions of it. So like class one is explosives.
Okay.
And then there's six divisions of explosives.
Yeah, they all have their own little classes underneath.
So class one is explosives.
Yep.
Class two is gases.
Yep. You know, flammable, non-flammable, poisonous.
Yep. Class three is liquids. Okay. Flammable liquids, I should say.
Okay.
Class four
So a flammable liquid would be your 6-oil?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Driver, if you haven't tried any of Mother Trucker Yoga's products, have we got news for you? The news is you are missing out on some great products that really do work. So You're probably sore from a long day and just don't know where to even start looking, right?
Well, driver, stop right there. You don't have to wonder anymore. These products were all designed with the professional truck driver in mind. And the Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is 100% natural. As in, all the junk that you don't need on your body is not in it. It is paraben-free, gluten-free, sulfate-free, and artificial dye-free.
Probably made right here in the USA. Road-tested, trucker-approved.
It relieves sore muscles, soothes pain and inflammation from bee stings and insect bites. It calms that back pain from driving those long, hard roads, helps alleviate foot pain, helps reduce wrist pain, elbow pain, and stiffness in the neck and shoulders from poor sleep or overuse.
In other words, if your body is feeling bruised and bumped up from that ever-intensive truck driver life, then Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is the answer to what you are asking. Just ask the crew at A&E Shipping Wars. They will let you know.
So, go to 18wheeltalk.com/resources and look for Mother Trucker Yoga to find this and many more great products. Gas is, you know. I hear nothing. You hear nothing.
Anyways. So your 6 oil was listed under gases.
No, because a gas is a...
I know, it's like,
I don't remember. I think it was semi-solid, though.
So, like I said, it's like,
Because gas, like petrol.
Yeah.
You know, petrol.
Gasoline.
Gasoline is a flammable liquid.
Right. You said you hold 6 oil and gas.
Yeah.
So that's why I said gas.
And I think that, yeah, and 6 oil, I think, is listed as a flammable liquid as well. I'd have to look it up.
Anyways.
Class 4 is a flammable solid.
Okay.
Tar is listed as a flammable solid.
Yep.
Or combustible, like if something just poof, instantly will combust.
Yep.
Class 5 is something that is an oxidizing substance or an organic peroxides.
Okay.
Class 6 is poisonous, toxic, and infectious substances.
Okay.
Class 7 is radioactive material. Hey, that's an easy one to say, Janet.
Hey.
Class 8 is...
That's what I haul. You know, if I haul some radioactive material.
Yeah, I didn't haul that.
You know, low levels of radioactive waste. But it happens. You know, people people are like, what do you mean you used to haul radioactive? Well, if somebody's at a hospital getting chemotherapy treatment, they're injected with radioactive stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's left in the vials and all the IV hookups and stuff. And that's how I end up hauling it because it becomes medical waste.
That makes sense.
It gets transport. It has a radioactive waste has a shelf life of if it's 100 in 24 hours, now it's at 50. It's level. It's radioactive level. The shelf life is 50% in 24 hours. So if it's at 100% in 24 hours, it'll be 50. 24 hours, 25.
Oh,
and
wow.
So on and so on until it's gone.
Oh, that's
there's radiation in all around us.
Yeah,
but when it gets if it's something above the norm, the shelf life they say is 50% in a 24-hour period.
I didn't know that.
Every 24 hours. That's why we were able to hold it for 3 days, and if it didn't come down to normal levels, we'd have to send it back.
Yeah, because at the end of the third day, it would be at 12.5%.
But if it's still above. Yeah. The quote.
Because 50, 25, 12 and a half.
Right. If anything above that, we'd have to create special paperwork, take it back to where it came from. And they would hold it for three days, and then we'd come back and pick it back up again.
See?
The vicious cycle.
Look at you, smarty bitches.
I know, right?
So 7 is radioactive.
Yep.
8 is corrosives.
Okay.
Like battery acid.
Ooh.
Batteries, you know.
Batteries.
Batteries.
Yep. Gotcha.
9 is miscellaneous dangerous goods. Like there's a hazardous that doesn't quite conform to any one specific thing, but has a little mix of everything.
Okay.
Yes, I just saw a drive-by pugging.
Yeah, I was like, what was that?
That was a
ooh.
It was a walk-by pugging.
Ooh, I saw a pug.
Well, her sister's sound asleep, so
anyways,
we're good.
Anyways. Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. So, and then there's security plans after that, but I didn't realize I had hauled as many of these glasses as I have.
What?
I haven't done radioactive.
What?
Well, so lucky security
you.
Plans.
Lucky you.
Then they talk about the security plan requirements in Part 172, Subpart 1 of the Hazardous Material Regulations. They're talking about each hazmat employer is subject to security plan requirements. But I mentioned that. They have to have a plan of action.
Right.
You know, everyone has to be trained. Everyone has to know what they're supposed to do, what they can't do. You know, it's like if you tried unloading 6-oil gas, they weren't quite as picky. But if you tried even touching a 6-oil tanker and you didn't have on the right gloves, you might as well have watched your boss's brain explode.
What?
Although there was one guy who's, I would have paid to watch his brain explode. Hazmat and all. I would have bagged it. Bagged it, tagged it, and walked away.
Shut the front door.
Bada bing, bada boom.
By the way, if you're finding value in this episode, please like, share, and follow us on all social media. Would greatly be appreciated.
Definitely.
And wherever you're listening to us on whatever podcast channel, if you can leave a review, that would be awesome too. And or a rating.
Oh, and we've got some really neat stuff coming up this summer.
I know, right? I'm
can't just
wait.
Like so excited.
I know, right? it's like can't wait. We got some special interviews coming up that
and some stuff we can't talk about.
We're not gonna tell you about. We want you to tune in.
That's right. And Patrick likes to, in case you've never seen us before, Patrick likes to make fun of Janet for funny faces, showing off her manicure. And what else? Oh, and I'm a wiggle wart.
So if you want to see all this in action, you have to go to the number one, the number 8, wheeltalk.com/YouTube. Or if you're on YouTube, search us at @18wheeltalk.
We're there. We're everywhere. Like Subwoofer. See that logo?
Oh my God! You did it!
I got it right.
You didn't throw your over the other shoulder this time.
Usually, I throw my finger over my right shoulder for the podcast logo. I'm learning. Well, technically, it's up there.
But anyways, yes. Ever since we revamped, because we're four truckers, we're about truckers, and we're by truckers. We're two retired truck drivers with 40+ years experience in the industry.
And
I've got a variety of driving experience from a garbage truck to a tractor trailer. Janet's got diesel in her blood, born with it.
Diesel and whiskey.
So.
And we are the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show, often imitated.
Never duplicated.
Yes, the one, the only, the green, blue, and the big rig.
That's right. So be sure to follow us. We're everywhere. You can listen to podcasts.
Oh, we got contests.
We're on
too.
Social media. Oh. We're everywhere on social media. We have a new email address. Let me find the button for it. It's called we're the hosts at 18wheeltalk.com.
With an S at the end of hosts.
That's the host, HOSTS, at 18wheeltalk.com.
It's not scrolling.
It's on my screen over here.
I don't get to see it.
Nope. And we have a fan club. Mm-hmm. So if you go to our 18wheeltalk.com, a little bit down the somewhere on the homepage, there's a link to take you to our fan club. Sign up for that by joining our fan club. You can get into our fan club group on Facebook, and we're gonna We're going to utilize our fan club just for contests, giveaways. So want to be a part of that, be sure to sign up, please.
And thank you.
And thank you. And I feel the sneeze coming now.
God bless you. He has to explode once every episode.
Almost. I usually can make it through and then let it out when we're done, but that one said, nope.
No, not today.
I'm coming out now, son of a bitch. But anyways, we hope you found value in this.
We hope you had as much fun as us.
Yes. We have a passion for this industry that is like no other. And we want to share it with you. If like I said, if you find value in this episode, like it, share it, tell a friend, pass it on, get the word out.
Yep. And if you don't see these two faces.
If you don't see me or Janet,
if you don't see us,
it's not the 18 Wheel Talk Podcast show. It's somebody else.
Someone else.
It's somebody else trying to be like us.
Yeah, it's someone trying to imitate us, and you're never going to find anything pornography related
anyways.
On our sites. Nothing. We are clean.
Anyway,
except our mouths.
We got an explicit rating because of Janet's mouth. She's got a sailor mouth.
I do not. I was in the Army. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, my bad. So you got an army mouth.
La bafango.
See? She knows how to swear at me in like 16 different foreign languages.
That's just one of my finer qualities, darling.
Anyways, we greatly appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
And you hope you come back next
Please
time.
Please like, share, follow us on social media.
Comment.
Get the word out there. Leave us a comment. Ask the show. We got an Ask the Show tab. You got a question, be sure to click on that tab on our website. Ask the Show. Ask us anything. Well, almost anything.
Thank you.
But hey, if we end up using your comment or suggestion on the air, we will give you a shout out and we will reach out to you. We possibly will send you some sort of thank you,
thank you goody.
Of something. We're not sure yet. What it will be, but it'll be good. It'll be good. Trust me.
It'll be good.
Say goodbye, Janet.
Goodbye, Janet. Okay, bye.
18 Wheel Talk.
Thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. Be sure to stop by 18wheeltalk.com and check out all the affiliates mentioned in the program today. Remember, we're here coaching generations of drivers while guiding them on their path to success. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Spark the revolution.
So tell me, do you have one of those change buckets in your vehicle for fancy cafes?
Yeah.
And are you looking for a way to help support the show and just don't know how?
Well, we have great news for you. It is super easy and you can do it for as little as $3 a month. Yes, that's right, $3 a month. That means for the cost of a cup of coffee, you could support the show for a month. And if you order one of those foo-foo frappy thingamabobs with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkles on top, you could support the show for about 6 months.
Isn't that amazing? Saving you calories from that frappy thingamabob with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkled things on top and help out the show. What's not to like about that?
So to do so, just go to 18wheeltalk.com/support. And you will see just how easy it is to support the show. And don't forget to pick out your fan emoji while you're there. That's 18wheeltalk.com/support.